You know, we started last week a new series, and it's entitled Encounters with God, and it's going to be a walk, a journey through the Old Testament with some key characters along the way who discovered that the God who makes promises can be trusted. And today we're going to be looking at a funny story in my estimation. I think it's funny anyway, and maybe you'll see it that way as well, but how many of you do believe that God has a sense of humor?
Oh, yeah. He made me.
Why would you believe that?
He made me.
He made you, that's right. Just because he made Judy, God has a sense of humor. Is that?
He needed entertainment.
Well, how many of you think that Jesus laughed?
No.
Oh, not as many. Oh, man, I think he had some hilarious times, and some of the stories he told are funnier than we think they are, because trying to read him in, you know, verses and all that, we sometimes forget how hilarious it must have been for the people who first heard it, and how just off the wall sometimes. So today, what I thought I'd do is we get started in this message, we need to have a little bit of fun. How many of you need some fun today? You know, every once in a while, you just need to have some fun. And we're going to, I hope, laugh a little bit and enjoy a little bit. And the first thing I want to share with you is, have any of you heard the story of the gift from three sons? The gift from three sons. Now, today, Tammy and I are privileged. All three of our sons, their wives, all of our grandkids are here together in church. And that's the first time in a long time. I don't even know the last time we've all been able to be together in church. And all the kids are down at Children's Church and all that. But anyway, we're all together. So I thought this would be an appropriate one. So you guys, several of you have three boys, right? How many of you have three kids? Three boys. We have some. Three boys. That's the deal. So here's the gift from three sons. Three sons left home. Went out on their own and prospered. Getting together for Christmas, they discussed the gifts that they were going to give their elderly mother. I shouldn't look at Tam when I say that. Oh, boy. I think I just got in trouble. The first one said, "I built a big house for our mother." The second one said, "I sent her a Mercedes."
Oh, yeah. Wow.
The third smiled and said, "I've got you both beat. You remember how Mom enjoyed reading the Bible? And you know that she can't see very well anymore. So I sent her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took the elders of the church 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind. Mom just has to name the chapter and the verse, and the parrot recites it." Soon thereafter, Mom sent out thank you letters to each of her boys. "Dear Milton, the house you built is too huge. I live in only one room, but I have to somehow keep the whole house clean. Dear Gerald, I'm too old to travel anymore. I stay at home most of the time and so rarely use the Mercedes. But dearest Donald, you have the good sense to know what your mother likes. The chicken was delicious." Is that all right? Is that a good one? Huh? Well, sorry, Judy, she did. Yeah. She just got that. How many of you know what a, I don't even know if I can pronounce it exactly correct, but how many of you know what a paraprosdoskion is? I can't even pronounce it, so I didn't know what it was. But what it is some kind of a figure of speech where a sentence, the ending of the sentence fits with the first, but it's not what you normally would anticipate with the first part of the sentence, okay? So, for instance, it's this. Where there's a will, I want to be in it. Okay? Here's another one. The last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on the list. Or how about this one? Since light travels faster than sound, some people appear bright until you hear them speak. She's pointing at me when she said that. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. I used to be indecisive, but now I'm not sure. Last one, okay. These are almost groaners, aren't they, for us? I'm supposed to respect my elders, but it's getting harder and harder for me to find one. Some of you say amen to that one, right? Well, why are we going to talk about laughter and humor and all? Because I think in the story that we're in today, I just think it's funny. We started in Genesis chapter 12 last week. We talked about how God spoke to Abram and to go from the country where he was and to go to this place where God would send him. And they got up and they began that journey. And then maybe this week, how many of you read some of the chapters of Genesis, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17? All right. So you know some of those other parts of the story. And you know how, you know, we consider Abraham a man of faith, but there were times where he was also a man of unfaith. Times when he wasn't exactly sure that God's promise was going to be just the way, you know, he had another perspective on it at times. But today we're going to come to Genesis chapter 18. And we're going to read the first 15 verses here in just a second. But we need to remember now that 24 years have passed from Genesis 12 to Genesis 18. Okay? So in those few chapters, now 24 years have passed, and they still have no baby. Okay? No descendant that was promised. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Genesis 18. And again, we're talking about encounters with God that can change a life. And so here's another encounter. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, 'If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant.' 'Very well,' they answered. 'Do as you say.' So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. 'Quick,' he said, 'get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread.' Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. 'Where's your wife, Sarah?' they asked him. 'There in the tent,' he said. Then one of them said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'After I'm worn out and my Lord is old.'" All you men, your wife calls you Lord, right? So I should not have stopped right there, maybe. "But after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I didn't laugh." And then I love the last line. Yes, you did. I just think this story is hilarious, and I hope that as we look at it, we'll also kind of recognize the fact that some of the promises of God are almost so outlandish, they almost do seem unbelievable at times, don't they? I mean, sometimes when you're going through a hard time, heaven just doesn't seem like it could ever be a reality. But it's a promise of God someday. And so what we're really talking about here with Abraham and Sarah and with ourselves is learning to trust the God who makes promises, even though at times it almost seems laughable. That's what the experience of Abraham and Sarah was that day. Abraham, he's sitting at his tent. It's in the heat of the day. It is hot. And I don't know if you've ever been in a desert area, which is pretty much where Abraham was, in the heat. You do not want to be under that sun. And so he has the tent flap out there, and he's just hoping for a breeze to just try to stay as cool as he can. And all of a sudden, he recognizes that there's some guys out there that are just, you know, they're on a journey somewhere. And he recognizes that they're out there, and he invites them to come, and he'll do everything he can to refresh them. I mean, Abraham had that hospitality gift. I mean, you got to do something to help these. And so he offers water, he offers food, he offers a time to rest. And notice in the chapter that we just read, or the verses we just read, that everything that Abraham did was in a hurry. I mean, he hurried to go, you know, let Sarah know, you need to make some bread. He hurried out to the field to find that calf that they were going to have for the meal. And everywhere he went, he hurried, because he wanted to make sure that all their needs were going to be taken care of, and he didn't want them to just keep going along their way. But one of the strangest things that happens in all this, after they've sat down and they're having their meal and they're under the tree and in the shade and trying to enjoy that meal and refreshment and a time to rest, they ask the strangest question. Because they're described as strangers, they're not people that Abraham knew. But they ask the question, where's your wife, Sarah? They ask it by name. They ask about her by name. You would think that would maybe seem a little strange to Abraham, that how do you know my wife's name? Did you look that up on the internet? And Abraham just kind of responds, well, you know, I mean, of course, she's just in the tent. I mean, she's where you would expect that she would be. But I think they wanted Abraham to know that they know the whole story of Abraham and Sarah, because they come from God. They're messengers from him. And I'm glad that the Lord brings people along the way that just seem to know the Lord and the Lord's ways, that kind of give us another fact and another insight in our own lives that just helps us know that God's looking out over us, even if we aren't fully aware of it. That's kind of how it was there for this particular scene. Where's your wife, Sarah? Well, she's there in the tent. But then this messenger from the Lord gives again the most outlandish promise. When he says this, I will surely return to you about the same time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. A year from now, you will have a baby. Now, we all know that this couple has been waiting for a long time. Isn't it amazing that God waits so long sometimes to keep his promises? But also to recognize that one of the reasons he waits so long to keep his promises is to see how we will follow and trust, even when it's not obvious that it's going to happen. I mean, this couple is old. I mean, when God made the promise, they were old. Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65 when he makes the promise. But now, Abraham is 99. Sarah is 89. And a year from now, she's going to have a baby. Why are you smiling at that? Why would you laugh at that? You're just like Sarah. Because it's so ridiculous to even think it, isn't it? And yet, the promises of God are always true. Whether they've been fulfilled yet or not, whether it's happened yet or not, the promises of God are true. I was going to say something that I will not say. I was going to see if there are any 89-year-old women here ready to have a baby next year. Let's go on. Verse 11 says that Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. You know, you just kind of reach the point where it's just not going to happen. You face the reality. And I think, you know, as you read this week of 13, 14 to 17, you know, they tried to find other ways to fulfill promises of God. But the only way that a promise of God can really be fulfilled is God's way. Don't try to fulfill God's promises for him. Don't try to do your thing to make true whatever you think God says. Let God do his thing. Amen? And so Sarah in her own mind is thinking, you know what? This message is just a little too late. Yeah, a year from now I'm going to have a baby. It's no wonder that Sarah laughed. It's no wonder that she's in the tent and she's like every good wife eavesdropping on the conversation of her husband and his friends. Is that a confession by anybody? But she's eavesdropping. She hears all this and she giggles. She laughs. It says, you know, kind of under her breath, she laughs at the whole idea because she knows how ridiculous it is to even think about it. But then the funny part, even funnier, begins to happen because the question gets asked. The Lord says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? I mean, we all know why she laughed, don't we? I mean, we all understand why she laughed at such an idea. It all makes sense to us that she would laugh because we would laugh. Why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child when I'm old? I think all of us would just understand why Sarah laughed that day. It'd be ridiculous for any of us to even imagine that at the age of 90, all of a sudden she's going to have a baby. I know God promised it, but that was 24 years ago. I mean, even then it was almost laughable, but when you wait 24 more years, it's even more laughable. But it's interesting that when God makes promises, he don't think that they are a laughing matter. When God makes promises, you can count on them. They are unbelievable to us, but believable because of who God is. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that God has made some promises that we might seem to just think that there's just no way? And yet because he is God, we can trust and believe that what he has said, it will be true. I mean, I've sometimes wondered in my own thinking, I mean, why has it been so long since he's come back? I mean, he's made a promise to return, right? And how long have we been waiting? Longer than lifetime. I mean, our lifetime, but a bunch of other lifetimes since the promise was made, right? And you begin to think, yeah, right, it's going to happen. But you know what? You can trust the promise because you can trust the one who made the promise. You know people that you know when they say something, they promise something, you know the ones you can really believe, right? Because they're that kind of person. Well, our God is the kind of person who, when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise, no matter how long it takes to fulfill. So here they are, and the Lord asks the question that I think all of us need to just sometimes just be reminded of. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, we might have our doubts at times. Sarah had her doubts about this promise. Abraham had his doubts, because you read in chapter 17 that Abraham laughed too, right? Sarah's not the only one laughing at this whole idea. But is anything really too hard for the Lord if he is the Lord? If he makes a promise, it's not too hard for him. I think deep down, another reason that Abraham and Sarah both laughed at this whole idea is that they really wanted to believe it, but just found it hard to believe. You know, I mean, we really want to believe the things that God has promised because we know it's good. We just find it hard sometimes because of what our situations are, what our circumstances seem to dictate, seem to go sometimes against what the promise of God says. But he says, you can trust me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I was reminded of one of the books. It's an old book. I don't even know if I still have my copy of it, but I probably do. I have enough books on my shelves. But one of the things that this whole story reminds me of, this book by J.B. Phillips entitled Your God is Too Small. And sometimes I think we let our own thoughts limit what God is able and wants to do. We have a small perspective on the possibilities of God. But we can trust him. I think the Lord is always trying to stretch our faith just a little bit more, don't you? Just a little bit more, because we have degrees of faith. We've taken steps of trust in God. But I think from time to time we come back to stories like this to just stretch our faith just a little bit more again today about what God might want to do, what promise he's going to keep, how he wants to work in our lives. Well, the final little episode there at the end of this story is just a cool one there in verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year. Sarah's going to have a son. Verse 15, Sarah was afraid, and so she lied. Have you ever been so nervous that you maybe said something that wasn't true? I mean, the Bible says she just straight out lied because she was afraid. I didn't laugh. I mean, if your kids ever come and say, I didn't do whatever, even though you knew they did, they're nervous because, you know, am I in trouble? Am I going to get punished? Whatever's going to happen. I didn't laugh. But I love the last line of all this where it just simply says, oh, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. The Lord always knows, doesn't he? He knows everything about us and all the ways that we are trying to deal with our life. I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. We've laughed today, haven't we? And we might be laughing internally about some promise that we feel God has made that we just haven't seen happen yet. And he's just saying to us today, I am faithful. Trust me today. Hold on. Don't let go. Trust me even today. Here's the thing in this whole story. The promise wasn't kept because of the strength of the belief of Abraham and Sarah. The promise was kept because the God who makes promises keeps promises. It wasn't because Abraham and Sarah had just such strong faith, they just believed it into happening. It happened because God's faithful. God keeps promises. This isn't something that happened because of Abraham and Sarah. It happened because of God. And Abraham and Sarah happened to be the ones to whom he made the promise. And even their mustard seed size of faith was enough. Even when they thought it laughable, they still followed. Think about that. They were still on this journey, even though they had their doubts at times. They kept going. But the promise is kept because God keeps promises. Sometimes our faith is this, isn't it? Sometimes it seems strong, sometimes it's not so strong. But our God is strong, and he keeps promises, and he kind of keeps pulling us through, even when we're not real strong in our own faith. True? Well, none of us are perfect trusters. But God didn't ask us to be perfect trusters. We trust as we can, and then we pray like the man in the one of the stories in the New Testament says, Lord, help my unbelief. Help where I'm not real strong yet. Keep stretching my faith to trust you today. Amen? Amen. So I don't know where you are right now in your life and your level of faith and trust, but I hope that today the Lord will stretch it just a little bit more. And that you'll know that the God who is with you, the God who loves you, the God who's made promises, can be trusted. Lean on him. Trust him. He's worthy of it. Amen. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing a final song. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the scriptures that just talk to us about real people. And sometimes, Lord, we think of Abraham and Sarah and some of the other characters of this Old Testament that we just think of them almost like superheroes, and they never made mistakes. And then we start reading the scripture and we realize how human they were, a lot like us. And so, Lord, help us in our unbelief to trust you a little bit more today, and realize that we can because of who you are. Lord, help us to know we can trust you no matter what we're going through today, no matter what we might be facing in the future. We trust you because you are trustworthy. We pray all this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Let's stand.